Okay, we'll get started. This way we don't go too far over for security. Welcome back. Good evening. We are back on tonight. We actually have to confirm at the end of the shiur, because basically we're committing to hopefully every other week as much as possible. Correct. However, there's also Midrash Shah night next week.
Correct.
So we'll have to see if
we have a film festival.
Right.
And then we got that as part of. So the 2 weeks of February will be this week and next.
So it could be we'll also have a shiur next week. We'll see if there's enough participation. If you're not in the WhatsApp group, it's helpful to be, especially because of our schedule being every other week and then sometimes being 2 weeks in a row. So in the top left of the source sheet that was handed out or should be passed around mostly, you have a barcode. If you want to, depending on which generation you're from, you can either scan the barcode with your camera or use the link and type it into your phone or to computer, and it'll bring you into this WhatsApp group, yukolala.com/women-halacha. Not the greatest link, but okay. We thank our sponsor for this month's learning. All the learning we're doing is Le'ilu Nishmas Yaakov Kapel Ben Yechiel Tzvi HaKohen in the month of Shvat. We appreciate the Ben Rosh family for sponsoring. This week's learning is also sponsored, and it's an awkward one. It's sponsored by Yitzi and Terry Karasik, my very good friends from Bergenfield, New Jersey, and it's sponsored in honor of me. So awkward, but also kind of feels good. Today's learning in particular is sponsored by Ilana and Avi Noam Teplo Phipps, Lili Nishmas Ari Michal Ben Ephraim, and they get a mazel, they had a baby girl today. So this is like, okay, and I think this year is basically over, so, alright. So what I want to do is spend at least a few weeks, we'll see, I think we'll start a topic. You want to get a sheet somewhere?
Yeah.
Is there an extra sheet running, floating around? I might have printed too few. It's a good thing when you print too few, okay. I figured we'll, no one really gave me a particular suggestion, but we all voted, I think, basically almost unanimously on Hilchos Shabbos, so that's a great idea. Hilchos Shabbos comes up just about every week, or maybe according to our schedule, every other week, and it's important to know the halachos. We could talk about malachos, we could talk about different shilas that come up. I figured we'll jump into Amir La'akum, no particular reason, just because it's very practical, it's very interesting, there's an introductory way to jump into it. We could do it for a few weeks and move on to something else. Or as we do it and questions come up, we could address those questions the next week. We could see, we'll do it as a conversation all together. We'll see where we're going. But it's definitely participatory. So if you have an idea of what you want to do in the future or the next week or a question that you want to follow up on that doesn't necessarily belong in this year but could be for the next year, so let's go following that sort of pattern based on what interests the crowd. Okay, Amir La'akam, my first question to you is as follows. There are 39 malachas on Shabbos, correct? The Pasuk says, don't do 39 malachas, right? No, the Pasuk doesn't say don't do 39 malachas. What does the Pasuk say? Don't do malacha on Shabbos. How do you know there's 39 malachos? Very good. Building the Mishkan. Very, very good. The Gemara on Shabbos is a whole bunch of fancy limudim, drushes from all over the place, different types of ways of trying to figure out how you come up to 39 malachos. But let's assume, which we do assume, that there are 39 lamentas and malachos that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. You could see, I forgot who it was, Country Yassi has a song about it, and there's a whole CD about the malachos of Shabbos. If you want to memorize them, there are good ways to do so. Okay, there's 39 malachos. Is Amir La'akum one of the malachos? First of all, what is Amir La'akum? You're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do malacha on your behalf, correct? On Shabbos, you may not do any of the 39 malachos. You also may not tell a non-Jew to do 39 malachos. That iser of Amir La'akum, or Amir La'nachri, or Amir La'gai, however you want to say it, whichever term you want to use to describe a Gentile, that is not permissible on Shabbos, but it's not defined as a malacha. It's not one of the malachos. It's aser, but it's not one of the malachos. It's prohibited, but it's not included in that list of 39, it is something else entirely. Okay, so it's something else entirely. What is it? Is it Daraisa? Is it Darabanan? What would you guess? Daraisa or Darabanan? Biblical or it's rabbinic in nature? Why would you guess that? Yeah. Simple answer.
Not in the Torah.
There's no pasuk. Very good. It's not in the Torah. Mrs. Lufglass knows the whole Torah, thankfully. Well, most of it. And, okay, but the parts that she knows, it's not there. So, and I will confirm for you that you are absolutely correct. It's not there. It's not there. And I can speak as someone who knows the whole Torah. And you can trust me on this. No, I don't know the whole Torah, but I know that Amir La'akum is not in the Pesukim. It's not there. It's simply not in the Pesukim. However, we're going to be throwing a curveball for a second over here. If you look in source number one, you have a pasuk in Parshas Bo. How long ago was that? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Not so long ago. The pasuk says like this. It's not about Shabbos. It's about Yontif, but we know Yontif and Shabbos, generally speaking, are quite connected, at least in these ways. It'll be Yom HaRishon, the first day of Yontif, Mikra Kodesh, Uvayom HaShvi Mikra Kodesh, the first day is the last days. Yiyelachem, they shall be for you, Mikra Kodesh. Kol Melacha lo ye'ase vahem. Someone translate those words for me. Kol Melacha. No one translated malacha except for one person. Fine, but yeah, kol malacha, all malacha, good. Lo ye aseh, careful.
Should not be done.
Should not be done. Correct. How would you say you should not do?
Lo
you shall not do. Lo ta'aseh, right? You shall not do. Don't do. Lo ye'aseh, you very astutely picked up on, means it shall not be done, which is in a passive form as opposed to the active verb of ya'aseh, you shall not do, or ta'aseh, you shall not do. What does that imply? So if you look at the Rashi here in source number one, at the end of the source, you have Rashi there in his commentary in Chumash, lo ye'aseh bahem in the passive. Rashi picks up on this, he's not the first, we'll see soon, afilu al yidei acherim, meaning the pasuk is telling you that you shall not do malacha, but it doesn't say that. It says malacha lo ye'aseh, you shouldn't have malacha be done. Says Rashi, that seems to mean malacha shall not be done on your behalf, afilu al yedei achirim, even if other people do that malacha for you. What does that start to sound like? A little bit like our case, right? A little bit like Amir la'akam. Now, Rashi didn't clarify, he didn't qualify for us, oh, it's this person or that person, a Jew or a non-Jew. But if it's a Jew, what's the chiddush? If it's a Jew, I can't do malacha, they can't do malacha. I certainly can't tell a Jew to do malacha for me. I can't tell him to violate Shabbos. That's crazy. So the only option that you're really left with, if you say afilu al yedei acherim, we'll see it explicitly soon, Amir Tashem Bli Neder, but the only thing you could really assume is that it means here, Amir la'akam. And if that's true, doesn't it sound like, according to Rashi, there is a pasuk in the Torah that says, kol malacha le'yaseh, you may not have malacha be done on your behalf, afilu al yedei acherim, even if others do it for you, assuming that that's referring to a non-Jew, to an akam. The truth is, this is absolutely fascinating. The Levush, in his commentary, as well as Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, in the Moruk Tziyah, they both assume this way, lamaskana, that it might be that there's a biblical prohibition, a biblical obligation to avoid, or a biblical prohibition from asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Can you imagine an Isser Daraisa? We said it's not a malacha, technically, but maybe it's biblical, maybe it's Asser Daraisa. But we do not assume that way, which is, I think, what everyone's gut was. In the very beginning, if you look in source number two, you'll see it's a Gemara. The Gemara is, well, it's a Mishnah with a Gemara. The Mishnah says, Le'yiskar Adam Poilim B'Shabbos. A person can't hire daily workers, you know, daily employees on Shabbos. He also can't tell his friend to do so for him. Says the Gemara Pshita. It's in parentheses, but let's just assume it for now. Pshita, well, obviously you can't ask your friend to do it for you. I can't turn on the lights. Can I ask my friend to turn on the lights if it's a Jew? Of course not. I can't hire Poelim workers. Can I ask my friend to do so? Of course not. How would that make any sense? Why is that a chiddush? Why does the Mishnah have to teach us that? Says the Gemara, Amar of Papa, Chaver Nachri, a non-Jewish friend. Maskel Havral Ashi, Rashi says back, Amir Lenachri is a shvus. Now, the context is a little less important, but what does the word shvus mean? It means literally, you know, resting or ceasing. But the way we use it colloquially is that a shvus means that something is, in fact, derabanan. It is rabbinic, it is not daraisa, it's not found in the Torah, it's not something in a pasuk, but rather, it's something that the rabbis, Chazal, much later on, instituted usually as a gezerah, as a fence around something as daraisa. So let's just, we're not up to this yet, but we will be neither get there. We assume there's 39 malachos. Those malachos are very serious. If a person violates the malachos on Shabbos, they're chayiv karis, they're chayiv skila, depending on the scenario, you're definitely chayiv a karban chatz. If you do it accidentally, it's a pretty serious infringement to violate an isser daraisa of malacha on Shabbos. So Chazal are very nervous that we're going to violate those malachos. So what do? They institute safeguards. They keep us away from it. So one of the ways they keep us away from it, let's say in this case, again, we're assuming very simplistically right now, we're not up to the real reasons yet, but we assume that Chazal are saying, we don't want you to chas v'shalom end up doing malacha, so what do we say? Take one big step backwards. Is there something behind me? No. One big step backwards, right? And avoid the malacha entirely by not even asking a non-Jew to do it on your behalf. That's what we assume. It's an Isser Derabanan. Again, the Gemara says it explicitly. What's the problem with saying it's an Isser Derabanan? We found the pasuk. No. According to Rashi, we found the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kol malacha lo ye'aseh bahem," which means the malacha should not be done on your behalf. Rashi said, even by others, even by non-Jews. So, what do you do with the pasuk? What's the answer? So, if you look in source number three, the Ramban in his commentary on the Torah, he quotes this. What Rashi has, he says, it's a mechilta from Chazal. It's a medrash. The medrash already said this. That if you have, excuse me, can you tell that person to be quiet? the medrash says this drasha. It says kol malacha la ye'aseh bahem, that the malacha should not be done afila de'achirim. It's a pasuk. What are you talking about? It says the Ramban, isn't it daraisa? It says the Ramban, no, easy answer. We have something called an asmachta. An asmachta means as follows. It means that we have dinim daraisa, which are the highest level of isurim. There's obviously other categories like halacha l'moshe m'sinai. We're not dealing with those nuances now. But after that, there's divrei kabbalah, which it comes from Navi, not from psukim and chumash. Okay, those are, you know, two higher levels. Then there's derabanan, then there's minhag. Right, you go down in levels and gradation of isurim. Within derabanans, even if something is not biblical but rather rabbinic, you could have a derabanan that has an asmachta, meaning it leans on, it relies on, or it references a pasuk in the Torah. Here's where it gets tricky. The Rishonim argue about exactly how to phrase this, but let's say it like the Rambam first. The Rambam assumes that when you point to a pasuk in the Torah as Chazal, you're saying this is only aser rabbinically, this is only prohibited rabbinically midrabanan. But if you look in the pasuk, you'll see a clever hint. I don't know. We could say like a mnemonic, something that reminds us of the prohibition of the Isser, but it's not like the Torah was saying here, don't do Amir L'Akam. The Torah was saying something entirely different, don't do Malacha. And Chazal know there's an Isser of Amir L'Akam Midrabanan, and they say, oh, if you look at this pasuk, it's a good hint to that Isser. The other possibility, which is more exciting, is what the Ritva says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, I believe. The Ritva says that, no, Asmachta means something, he takes the Rambam for task for saying it's just a mnemonic. He has very harsh words for the Rambam about his opinion. I don't even want to say it on the recording, not for now, but the Ritva says that no, it means something much more exciting, like I said before. It means that Chazal knew this was Aser. They knew it was Aser. So when Chazal knows something's Aser, they made it up? No, what do they obviously think? That Hashem thinks it's Aser. Chazal, the rabbis in the Gemara, they're the agents for Hashem's will. They're the ones who are going to teach us about it, but they know Hashem wanted this. This is Ratzon Hashem. So they look through the Torah and they say, oh, I found it. This Pasuk is where the Ratzon Hashem is hidden in the Pasuk. Even though that Ratzon Hashem wasn't explicated by the Torah, it's something Chazal, the rabbis, dug up, and therefore came back and said, oh, I found where it's really alluded to in the Psukim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. A fascinating concept of Asmachta. Either way, the Ramban says that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with Asmachta. So everyone should agree. Lahalacha. Again, we said the Levush and the Yaakov Emden don't say this, but that's the minority opinion. We generally assume that it's an Isser Derabanan, albeit a very serious one, a very important one, just like all Isserim Derabanan. And here even more so, because it has an Asmachta. It's got at least a Remez, and maybe even it's part and parcel of the Ratzon Hashem that's found in the Pasuk in Parshas Bo. Okay, you have in source number 4 here, just the basic Mishnah that really teaches us the whole concept of Amir L'Akam, where you basically have a case where there's a fire burning on Shabbos, a non-Jew comes to extinguish the fire. So the Mishnah says, "Ein omrim lo kave v'al techbe." You don't say it to him, stop, and you don't say it to him, please extinguish. You just leave him be. You don't have to tell him to stop, because you're not commanded to tell a non-Jew not to do Malach on Shabbos. He could do whatever he wants on Shabbos. He's a non-Jew. He doesn't have to keep Shabbos. You're also not allowed to tell him to put out the fire. Right? Why? It's Amira le'akum. Amira le'akum. Right? It's that issue of telling a non-Jew to do the malacha for you. So the Mishnah here tells us exactly what we knew all along. The idea of this Isser seeming like a daraisa, or at least, how should we say it, a very serious darabanan, a very severe darabanan, that's a consistent theme in halacha and in history. You look at something very fascinating in source number 5. You'll find, we'll talk about the reason a little bit soon, hopefully, but if a person is not careful about Amir al-Akam, about Amir al-Nachri, and asks a non-Jew to perform halacha for them on Shabbos, Shabbos can very quickly and very easily slip away. Very, very quickly, very easily slip away. Everything can just be done by a guy, right? So I can't, you know, people are familiar with the Ramban's famous example of how a person could keep Shabbos on a Del Raisa level and take a bus and go to a baseball game and play sports and he could do a million things and it could be not Shabbos and Shabbos at the same time because he's not experiencing Shabbosom. This is a little bit different. You could keep Shabbos with all the Del Raisas, but you could literally accomplish all of your Malachos through a non-Jew if you tell them to do that. So that's quickly Shabbos can turn into that. If you look in source number 5, you see the Chsam Sefer and the Tshuva. He writes that unfortunately in the community to which he's answering a shayla from, in that community, he says all of the non-Jews in the community, you know what they think Shabbos means? They think on Shabbos, Jews are commanded to ask non-Jews to do their malacha for them. Read it. That's what he says. The Goyim think that Shabbos means that we don't do malacha, but we ask non-Jews to do malacha. The concept of the Shabbos guy. In fact, there's a book called Shabbos Guy. You look in source number 6, I quoted it for you. I read it originally in Hebrew, which is why I put the title in Hebrew. But then I dug up, I have since then, I don't know what the right word is, but I took ownership of, long story, of an English translation of the book, so I put the English for you. It just happens to be I read it first time in Hebrew. It's by Professor Jacob Katz. He's not alive anymore, but he was a famous academic, a famous historian, our mutual cousin just published a whole book about him and a lot of his writings. So he's a famous historian, an academic, a scholar. He was a frum person. He was raised in yeshivas. He was into history, so he left the straight yeshiva system. He actually went to, I think he was, I forgot which Breuer, it was Rabbi Yosef Breuer, in Germany to learn there so he could also be in school. And then he went to London for a year, and then he was a professor in Hebrew University, I think. I forget, Hebrew University. But he was a groundbreaking historian in Jewish history. He also taught a course for a year, at least once, in Yeshiva University. And I think the course that he taught was called Shabbos Guy. It was about this topic. And basically what he does is a fascinating book. And what he does basically is he traces the history of the halacha of Shabbos Guy, meaning all of the shailas that were asked throughout history, from the time of the Rishonim in the medieval times, through the times later, through the late Achronim, all the way till, not quite current, but all the way till at least like the 19th century, where he basically shows how halacha developed as history developed, just as an example. In the beginning, in the medieval times, so the Jewish business was extremely, the Jewish life in general was extremely insular. So you didn't really interact with non-Jews all that much. And if you did, it was not something that you had to rely on at any given moment. So your business shut down on Shabbos because everyone shut down on Shabbos. Everything shut down on Shabbos. As the Jewish community expanded a little bit more, and then eventually in the 1700s, this is his major work, his Tradition on Crisis, which breaks down exactly when the Jewish community broke into the Goyish community and started mixing together. But in terms of Parnassus, in terms of business, suddenly you were trading and you were working with and you were dealing with non-Jews all the time in your business. And it would be harder for your business, whatever it was, to shut down every single week on Shabbos. You wouldn't do malacha, but you would start asking questions to the rabbi. Well, can I ask the non-Jew to do this? Can my non-Jewish partner do that? Can I sell like this? There's a million questions that start coming up that never came up in history, and you see an amazing thing. Quickly, the poskim start turning around and giving kulas, a lot of leniencies, because the Jewish people couldn't keep up their businesses unless we had leniencies in Amir La'akam. And then it got so bad in the 1700s into the 1800s that the rabbis realized, if we don't put a stop on this, we're going to lose Shabbos, because like the Sam Sofer observed, people think Shabbos means the Goyim do malacha for you. So then you see a reversion in Psak Halacha later in history, where the rabbis are more stringent, more machmir abedi mer la'akum, because we're going to lose hold of Shabbos if we keep up with all these leniencies. So it's a fascinating back and forth, a tug of war between the rabbis and the Bali Batin. The book is, the truth is, the book, I think I'm pitching it better than it is. It's pretty boring to read these type of books, but I happen to enjoy them. But you have to, you know, kind of sit there and read through a lot of pages of quotations and things like that. But it's very interesting study. What was it? Did it sound interesting or no? It sounded interesting. Okay, yeah.
By a Jew.
Correct. So we sort of dealt with it. The Mechilta deals with that. And it says, it doesn't make sense that the Pasuk means lo ye aseh by another Jew.
Yeah, it would.
Because, yeah. Obviously a Jew can't do Malacha, and another Jew can't do Malacha for you either.
But there are Jews that can. So like, again, I mean, as a physician, there are times when I'm...
Yeah, but that's...
again, to your point that...
But that is allowed. There's no prohibition for you to do that.
Else who can't. Meaning...
Yeah,
but I can do it for a chola. I can't suddenly do it.
For sure, but that's a different lima. You don't need another pasuk to tell you that. That we know from Gemara and Yuma has question what the maskan is, but it has a bunch of limud and pei. Hey, that area in the Gemara and Yuma, I forget which daf, but it has a bunch of different drushas in terms of trying to learn out where we know pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. So a doctor can perform whatever tasks for themselves or others that are needed for sakanas nefashos, but you can't light my cigarette for me, right? You can't do malacha for me. You still, and that makes sense. No one's going to think you could, right? So the Mechilta rules out that possibility in the Pasuk. Lo Yaseh is passive. It can't mean Jew. That doesn't make sense. It must mean non-Jew.
And then I guess, I mean, again, I was sort of along the similar lines number two, is that like, Lo Yameh Adam L'Chaveiro, it's very interesting because like, again, with the Jewish history you're just providing, we're now assuming that the Jews and non-Jews were Chaveiro.
Yeah, totally. Very interesting. I think, I have to look at the Gemara again inside. I think it's one of the Rishonim talks about using the word chaver for a non-Jew. It is very fascinating. It is very fascinating. Again, chaver could also, it could be that's the way you say so fellow person,
that's
you know.
That's in the Mishnah, meaning
it is. Yeah. So it doesn't have to mean buddy the way we say it, but I do think someone picks up on this. I just can't remember offhand. It was a long time ago. I learned them at the Gemara. I have to review, but it is interesting. It is an interesting point. Okay, so what's the reason? Why is Amir La'akam prohibited? Why can't we tell a non-Jew to do malacha for us on Shabbos? Okay, we're not allowed to do it, but why can't I tell someone who's not commanded in Shabbos?
There's no
to do it for me, yeah?
It doesn't matter if we do it or someone else, Hashem doesn't want that thing to be
done. Ah, interesting. So this is an interesting suggestion. You think that it's not that Hashem said don't do malacha. It's that Hashem said he doesn't want malacha to be done on Shabbos. That's a very, very fascinating idea, and there are makoros to support it in a certain way, not exactly the way you mean it, but I'll just make one point which will knock it off just so we can move on to the next thing, which is the following. Is it true that you don't have to answer this if you don't want. Is it true that a non-Jew should volunteer to keep Shabbos, according to what you said?
No.
Why not?
Because you're meant to turn someone away from them, so Hashem gave us the mitzvah.
Right. So then a non-Jew himself is allowed to perform the malacha.
But you just said that with the fire thing.
Yeah. Correct.
It's not our job to say.
Absolutely. So you can't really say in such a general sense that Hashem doesn't want malachas done on Shabbos by anyone. On our behalf. Okay, interesting.
So
good. So we'll try to find. So we'll try to dig a little deeper.
If I keep them out,
right. Okay, so we'll dig a little deeper on that. Good. So the first passage. Yeah.
Because we're allowed to have machines that are set on timers.
That's a question. We can do that another week.
That's
we can do that another time. You're not going to want to come to that. No.
Definitely not.
Yeah. So, sorry. Turn the page to source number, to page number two. Sorry. On page number two, you have, first of all, source number seven, just so we know this, just so we don't go out if you're not knowing this, the Isser of Amir Lanachri is applicable not only in Halacha Shabbos, it's applicable across the whole Torah. So there's an Isser, for example, source number seven, you have it, there's an Isser that a person, losachsam shor bedisho, meaning when you are plowing with an ox, so you're not allowed to muzzle the ox to disallow it from eating from the field while you're plowing. Why not? You don't have to ask that question. It's a mitzvah in the Torah, but this is an interesting discussion, the Rishonim and the Achronim, in terms of time and mitzvahs, whether there's a reason. What reason would you jump to? Why you can't muzzle the animal while it's plowing?
If it's
working hard. Sabbat al-Chaim. What were you saying?
If it's working hard, you need to let it eat.
Right, it's the same idea. I mean, you can't let it starve while it's working. Exactly. That's not right to cut off the animal, a worker, any sort of being, any creature. Tov Hashem l'kol v'racham aval kol ma'asav. We're supposed to have mercy on all the creations. So an animal, there's a concept of Tzar Bala Chaim. Okay, it's debatable whether that's really the reason for the mitzvah. There's actually a lot to say about this. There's a Tosfos Rashi in Maseches Shabbos, in Maseches Bava Metzia about this. And there's a very interesting Maseches Chachma about it also. But we'll leave it for now. Anyways, but you're not allowed to muzzle the animal while it's plowing. So can I tell my non-Jewish neighbor, can you please muzzle my shore while I plow? Answer, no. Why? Amir la'akam is usher in Kol HaTorah Kula, not only in Shabbos, but really in all Isurim. Okay, many applications of that, it's just important to know. If you look in the next section, the reason, source number 8, you have a pasuk in Yeshaya, which hopefully we're familiar with the pasuk. Yeshaya Navi says in his famous book, Yeshaya, Im tashiv mi Shabbos raglecha, asos chafatecha, doing your biddings, doing your things, B'yom kadshia, my holy day, the karasala Shabbos oneg. You have to create oneg Shabbos, likdosh Hashem mechubad, the command to honor Shabbos, covet and oneg, come from this pasuk. V'chibadito me'asos derachecha. You have to honor Shabbos by refraining from doing your normal things from during the week. Mimtso cheftzecha v'daber davar. From doing your, we don't want to say work because we're not implying malacha, but desires is a good literal translation, which means things other than malacha that are weekday-like. We'll leave it for now. And daber davar, talking. Is that true? You're not allowed to talk on Shabbos? So there is such a concept. Not for the Hamunam, but the Tosfos Kodesh Yerushalmi, I think, or Gamliel or someone, would not talk the whole Shabbos because Shabbos is a time for Kedusha, for talking Devar Torah, maybe, but to talk about anything else is not necessarily a violation, but at least it rubs up against this Isser of Daber Daber. But really, Daber Daber means you can't talk about Malacha, so you don't want to say on Shabbos, after Shabbos I'm going to go drive to buy some pizza, or after Shabbos I'm going to go, I don't know, light a fire or something. You don't want to talk about malachas you're going to do on Shabbos, even if you're going to do them after Shabbos, just the words themselves take away from the Kedusha of Shabbos. They impinge on that Kedusha, so we're supposed to refrain from mentioning malacha. You are allowed to say, after Shabbos, I have a meeting. It's not that you're not allowed to talk about things that are going to happen after Shabbos. You just can't talk about doing a malacha. That's the problem. It doesn't have to do with the Dharm. It has to do with the fact that just saying those words is very mundane and therefore damaging to the spirit of the day. It's a distraction from the focus of the day. So Rashi in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Tezvav Menal, if Rashi quotes this pasuk in Yeshaya and says that's the reason for the Isser of Amir La'akam on Shabbos, what happens when I tell a non-Jew, please turn on the light for me on Shabbos? What have I done? I've talked about Malacha on Shabbos.
But it's not
That's an interesting point, right? The pasuk here, Yeshaya, is telling us you can't talk about malachas on Shabbos. Here, I'm not talking about myself doing it, but I am mentioning, hey, please light the fire. Oh, you're talking about lighting fires on Shabbos. That's dabar davar. So when you tell a non-Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos, you're violating the issue of dabar davar in Yeshaya Hanavi. And that's the Isser of Amir Lachlan. That's the source for it, according to Rashi and Maseches Avodah Zarah. However, that's Rashi's opinion, Maseches Avodah Zarah. There is a Machlokas Rishonim over here. Rashi versus Rashi. In source number 9, you have Rashi and Maseches Shabbos. You have it in Avodah Zarah and Chaf Beis as well, I think as well as elsewhere. Rashi says a different reason entirely. Maybe we would have jumped to this, but there's an issue in Halacha. There's a concept of Shlucho Shel Adam Kamosa, which means that I can appoint an agent on my behalf to do my things for me. For example, if I want to be Mekadish and Isha, if I want to get married, so I can give the woman a ring or money or whatever and say, Hareat Mekudesh Li, and be Mekadish her. Or what can I do? I could send a friend, not so romantic, but I could send a friend and say, please take this ring to my future wife and propose to her on my behalf. I made a shliach, I made an agent, someone who does my will for me. So generally speaking, we assume ein shlichas la'akum, that you can't make a non-Jew your shliach for most things in halacha. However, we assume Rashi says, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says as well, the Hagos Maimini, his commentary on the Rambam, says as well, that we assume that even though generally speaking you cannot make a non-Jew, a Gentile, your shliach, your agent for anything in halacha, we assume yesh shlichas la'akum l'chumra. Meaning if you're trying to do something that is inappropriate, that is usur, you can cause the non-Jew to be your agent. And in this context, Rashi says to us that the issue of telling a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos, you have in source number 9, is harehu shlucho lisa'eno b'Shabbos. He is becoming your agent, your shliach, to do your bidding on Shabbos. So basically what you've done is you've appointed an agent to do malacha on your behalf. An agent doing a malacha on your behalf is as if, halachically, you are doing the malacha. Why? Because shlucha shel adam kamoso. When someone does the halachic action on your behalf, it's as if you did it. So it's as if you violated Shabbos with the malacha on your own, on Shabbos. So those are the two reasons that Rashi quotes in different places. One is dabar davar, that you can't speak about malacha. And the other is that you can't appoint an agent to do your bidding on Shabbos. Yeah. Ooh, that is a topic for a different shiur. That's a whole topic for a different shiur. That's really complicated. Inviting a non-religious, I think the people in Kiruv like to say not yet religious. Be optimistic. It's a good way to think about things. So a not yet religious Jew to come to my house for a meal on Shabbos. What's the obvious issue? They're going to drive. They're going to drive home, right? So that's, and they would do it anyway, which is a good point also. Also, it's a different issue. We're not talking about non-Jews. We're talking about lifnei iver, which is causing a Jew to stumble on Shabbos of the Isser Malacha. That is worth discussing at a future point. You should write that down. Whoever's keeping track of all the ideas, write down that idea. Yeah.
Interesting. You said with the shaliach, let's say for marriage, right? That is the same level. It's like as if you are there. Now, when you're using a shaliach for with a nachri, it's now bumped down a level, though.
Bumped down in what way?
Meaning, presumably, if the shaliach has the same status, then it's an iser deraisa for you.
But here it's only iser derabanan.
Right. So it's sort of interesting.
Interesting, right? It's not kiddushin. It's not kiddushin derabanan just because you did aliyah shaliach. Yeah, that is interesting. That is interesting. But I think the reason is because really we assume there is no such thing as making a non-Jewish shaliach. Here lechumra we assume you can't do it, but it's not the original case or construct of shluch hashalom kamoso. It's a derabanan chumra of shluch hashalom kamoso. That's probably the understanding. Okay. Lastly, in terms of the reasons, and then we'll try to close up within five or 50 minutes. The Rambam you have in source number 10. The Rambam tells us a whole megillah over here, a whole richas. The Rambam says in Perek Vav of Hilchos Shabbos, Lacha Aleph, he says, Aser lomer l'goy lasus lona malach b'Shabbos alf b'she enom suv al ha-Shabbos v'alf b'she amr lo mikolim Shabbos v'alf b'she enom tzarech losem malach el lach Shabbos. You can't tell a goy to do malach v'yon Shabbos even though a goy doesn't keep Shabbos. Here's the bold. V'davar zeh aser midibrei sofrim, midarabana, k'dei shelo t'yeh Shabbos kala b'einehen, that Shabbos shouldn't appear light and unimportant, insignificant in our eyes.
B'einehen is in our eyes.
In the eyes of the people who are doing it. In the eyes of people who are doing it. But you're saying, does it sound like it's in the eyes of the non-Jews?
Yes.
Okay, let's think about that.
That's what the grammar is. I mean, but, by the Hebrews.
Very good, but yeah. Let's finish the sentence and you'll see why it can't be. V'yavo lasos be'atman. They will come to do it themselves, meaning the Jew will come to do it themselves. You're right, he kind of changed tenses. It's kind of strange. So that's a good question. No, it has to mean the first way you said it. Meaning be'atzman, mean they will come to do it themselves. They already did ask the non-Jew themselves. Now, if you do that enough times, what are you going to do? You're going to start saying, well, if I ask an Anju, it works, so why not just do it be'atzmi, myself? But you're right, and grammatically, you know, it's, I wonder if I looked at the Frankel editions of the Rambam, the newer editions. There is no, this is the original language in the Rambam. Sefer HaMitzvos was written in Arabic. Perish Mishnayos was written in Arabic. We have translations from a bunch of different people. Kapach, most famously for people. Korach also wrote a, not the same guy, different guy, Korach. He has a very fantastic translation. The newest, I think it's Machon Maor published a set of Perish Mishnayos. A very, very fancy, very beautiful, and with a lot of footnotes. Korach's translation of the Perish Mishnayos. Sefer Mitzvos, like I said, was in Arabic. Some other things. Mor Nevuchim was written in Arabic, Judeo-Arabic. But the Mishnah Torah was written in this language. Mishnah Torah. This of the Rambam was written in this language. Yeah, so you might come to do it yourselves. So we have two or three reasons. I say two or three reasons for the following reason. We said where there's a reason of Dabr Davar, that you don't want to talk about Malacha on Shabbos. There's a reason of the other Rashi, that you don't want to make a Shliath, an agent on Shabbos, to do your bidding for you, do Malacha for you, right? And now we have the Rambam saying it's really so that Shabbos doesn't become light in our eyes. So a lot of the Achronim say, oh, there's three reasons over here. And we'll see there are nafkaminas. There's three reasons that you would aser, machlokas, three reasons that you would aser amira l'nachri on Shabbos, either because of Dabar Davar, or because of Shliach, or because it's going to make Shabbos kal be'inehem, and we're going to come to do malacha ourselves. But the Stipler Gaon, and this is so intuitive, this makes sense, he's probably right about this. The Stipler Gaon, I forget the order, but I think Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov, I just always forget if it's Yaakov Yisrael, but I think Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky's father, the Stipler Gaon in the Sefer Kilas Yaakov and Maseches Shabbos, so he says, no, there's two reasons here. Either the mechanism of the Isser is Shlichus, or the mechanism of the Isser of Amir Lakum is the Abra Davar, that you're not allowed to talk about it. According to everyone, the reason, the motivation for the Isser is that Shabbos should not seem insignificant in our eyes. Then the Rishonim ask, okay, so now that we're trying to keep Shabbos significant, how do we do it? Through Shlichus or through Dabar Davar? Okay, we could duke it out. We could argue about that. But everyone agrees that the underlying motivation is that Shabbos should be upheld in our eyes as significant, as chamer, as severe. And the question is one of mechanism, or as I think you say in Yiddish, mechanism. I don't know, I made that up. But that's a different question, just in terms of tactically, strategically, how do we get to the Isser? Okay, through Shlichus or through Dabar Davar. But everyone agrees the whole reason for it is to keep Shabbos serious in our eyes. What the post can point out, and this is what we're basically going to end with this, basically, is that there are nafkaminas, there are practical differences between the different reasons. I'll give you some just to test our, a litmus test for our brains over here. So I'll give you a question, you'll tell me what you think according to each opinion. Can you ask a guy on Shabbos to do a malacha for you after Shabbos? You go to your guy on Saturday afternoon, you say, can you come over tonight and paint my house? No. Is that permissible?
No.
Okay, before you say no or yes, according to Rashi, that the issue is Daber Davar, can you do so on Shabbos?
No.
Why not?
Because you're talking about malacha.
You're talking about malacha. On Shabbos, talking about malacha. You couldn't even say, I want to paint my house after Shabbos, right? Fine. What if the issue was one of shlichus?
No problem.
Ah, not an issue. Why? I'm appointing a non-Jewish person to paint my house.
After Shabbos.
Are you allowed to have a non-Jewish person paint your house after Shabbos?
Yeah.
No, I rent. I'm not allowed to paint my house. But I hear what you're saying. If you're so fortunate to have a house that you're allowed to paint, yeah, you could do that, of course. Any day of the week you want, right? What?
Are you allowed to appoint a shaliach on Shabbos?
Yes. Your question is probably implying a question of like business transactions on Shabbos. This doesn't fall into that. There is a question of business transactions on Shabbos. Somebody here just wrote down that we're going to talk about that at some point. But that's something we have to get to at some point. Okay, let's do the opposite case. Can you ask on Thursday, can you say to your painter, do you mind coming by on Saturday afternoon, Saturday morning, and painting my house? According to the issue that is Dabar Davar, can you do that on Thursday?
Yeah.
Why? You're not talking about Malach on Shabbos. Very easy. What if it's an issue of Shlichus? Problem, why? You're setting an agent to make an appointment to come and work for you on Shabbos. Exactly right. Last case. Let's say I ask a guy to do a malacha for me on Shabbos. Can you please turn on the light? And the guy looks me in the face and says, it's Shabbos. So he doesn't do it. Did I violate Amir Lakum or not?
No, because it didn't get
done. Ah, so it didn't get done. Therefore, I didn't make a shliach who actually fulfilled the malacha. Okay. But was it Dabar Davar? Dabar Davar is about what? The speaking. The speaking was done. Let's say I say right now, I want to light a fire after Shabbos. That's Dabar Davar. You're not supposed to talk about that on Shabbos. You're not supposed to talk about malacha on Shabbos. So here I told the non-Jew to do malacha for me on Shabbos. He didn't do it, but I still did Dabar Davar. So you see, there's nafkaminas depending on how you learn it. We're going to stop before we get to the end of the Makoro sheet, but just everyone take a wild guess at which one we paskin. Like, do we paskin the issue is shlichus, or do we paskin the issue is Dabar Davar? Nafkamina, can you do it on Thursday for Shabbos, or Shabbos for after Shabbos? What do you think we paskin? Think a little bit more. Judaism is so restrictive. We passing like everyone. We passing like everyone. We're machmer and everything. What do you mean? We're Ashkenazim, most of us. We passing like everyone. Meaning that even if you're saying it on Thursday and you don't want malacha to be done, and you want malacha to be done on Shabbos rather, and even if you're saying it on Shabbos and you want malacha to be done on Matzeh Shabbos, it's always usher. You cannot have a malacha done for you on Shabbos or construe a scenario in which malacha will be done after Shabbos on Shabbos to make the arrangements. However, that doesn't make everything we just said moot. Source number 11, by the way, is where you see that the Shulchan Aruch was machmir for everything. That doesn't make everything we just said unimportant and moot because of the following. We're not going to talk about this now, but this is something for future weeks. But we nedar mit Hashem. The fact that once you start to talk about making the command before Shabbos or making the command on Shabbos for after Shabbos, the fact that different people will disagree about whether that's permitted or not matters in cases where we can combine other leniencies. Okay, so for example, if there's a strong necessity and or we're doing a b'derech remiza, which means the sort of the hint, hint, wink, wink type of way, those aren't permissible inherently, but if you start to put things together, you can create a package through which you're able to now do a amir lakim in cases you wouldn't have been able to without the added leniencies. So if a person is doing something from before Shabbos on Shabbos, you can't do that. But if you put together a few pieces, sometimes you'll be able to do it. Therefore, it's important to know about the background and know about the reasons, because the reasons do apply in certain situations, don't apply in other situations, according to some of the Rishonim. We can be machmir like everyone, but we know how to pick it apart when we need to. If there's a shaila that comes up, how do you send mail on Thursday afternoon knowing the postman is going to deliver it on Shabbos? How do you do that? Isn't that a mir lakum on Erev Shabbos in order to do something on Shabbos?
Maybe based on your community.
What do you mean?
Wouldn't build a house on Shabbos if that's what you're...
That is an issue of Mir Lakum. It's also an issue of Mar Sinai, something related and unrelated. But the point is, how do you do things like this? How do you order a package that might arrive on Shabbos, right? So the answer is sometimes it's not allowed. Often it is allowed. You're allowed to send mail, even though you know the postman's going to work on Shabbos. Part of the ingredients to answering that question is knowing that not everyone thinks it's prohibited in the first place. It's not the whole answer, because we do assume it's prohibited. But if you start to piece things together, you'll be able to see how the halachic process comes to kulas in these situations. So that's our introduction. We'll stop here. And b'li nedar mit Hashem, by a show of hands, how many people can make it next week, same time, same place? A hand up is not a nether, it's, you know. Okay, if I poll the group, will people answer the poll?